This is The Takeaway. I'm Todd Zwillick, filling in for John Hockenberry. Thank you so much for listening. And we start in Washington today, where it's a very rare moment indeed when Republicans agree with President Barack Obama. But when it comes to the Trans-Pacific Partnership, which is a massive trade deal with nearly a dozen countries around the Pacific Ocean, representing about 40% of the world economy, Republicans are not just behind the White House, but hoping to give the president more authority to fast-track the deal. If passed, it could be the largest trade deal since NAFTA went into effect in 1994. The House Ways and Means Committee enters the debate today to consider giving the president that special authority to finish negotiating a trade accord with the Pacific Rim nations. The process is moving in the Senate, too. The Senate Finance Committee approved its own version late Wednesday night, but only after hours of delay forced by protesting liberal Democrats, Barack Obama's own base. Now, this deal has sharply divided the president from many in his own party. Here's Massachusetts Democratic Senator Elizabeth Warren speaking to CBS This Morning earlier this month.
I have real concerns about something that basically would permit multinational companies to sue other countries when they try to put regulations in place to protect their own workers, to protect their own citizens. I think this is a really dangerous provision in a trade deal.
And does that put you on the opposite side from the president?
It certainly does.
It certainly does.
Well, that prompted the president to go on MSNBC this week to defend the deal.
I love Elizabeth. We're allies on a whole host of issues, but she's wrong on this.
And the president went on.
I would not be doing this trade deal if I did not think it was good for the middle class. And when you hear folks make a lot of suggestions about how bad this trade deal is, when you dig into the facts, they are wrong.
Well, the opposition isn't just Elizabeth Warren. It includes a majority of House Democrats. It includes Senate Democratic Leader Harry Reid himself. And so the president and Republicans are now agreeing to give the public more time to review the now secret deal once it's finalized, but that is likely to be the next president's problem. Well, we have two voices now, one for and one against the Trans-Pacific Partnership. First, Lori Wallach. She's director of Global Trade Watch. It's a division of Public Citizen. Lori is critical of this deal. Welcome, Lori.
Thank you very much.
So Congress this week is dealing with the fast track portion of this whole deal, giving the president more authority to push through the TPP, the Trans-Pacific Partnership. Do you think there's a chance Democrats could kill it?
The way it looks right now is the vote that's up is a procedure. It's not the agreement. It's a very archaic, undemocratic procedure that actually Nixon cooked up, rarely been used. It's called fast track. And it would basically take away all of Congress's normal overview and procedural safeguards about a vote. And that vote right now, there is almost no Democratic support in Congress. And there are a lot of Republican rank and file members who are opposed. So the way the politics lines up, bizarrely, is it's the president and the Republican leadership in Congress, plus the hugest pack of corporations, all the interests that tried to wipe him out as a president, didn't want him reelected. And that would be the pharmaceutical companies and the oil and gas companies and the big multinational producers that are chronic job offshorers and the big retailers like Walmart and Kmart. And then the other side is the entire Democratic base. Because the TPP would not only make it easier to offshore our jobs and undermine our wages by throwing us in competition with Vietnam, but also, as Senator Warren has pointed out, would roll back financial regulation, would make us import food that doesn't meet our safety standards, would roll back some of the energy conservation and climate policies this president struggled to put into place. You have the broadest coalition of the entire Democratic base, from consumer and environmental groups to the faith and family farm groups to the internet freedom groups, to the unions, to small business organizations, the opposition, and almost every member, Democratic member of Congress is stunning.
Well, Lori, a lot of the discomfort in that coalition that you just mentioned goes back to NAFTA, the North American Free Trade Agreement, 1993, 1994. What went wrong with NAFTA in the perception of that coalition that you're talking about that's making them so very opposed to the deal today?
Well, TPP is actually based, the text is based on the U.S.-Korea Free Trade Agreement, which President Obama did in 2012. And that agreement, the Korea agreement, was based on NAFTA in 1993. The crux of what's wrong with NAFTA is that it has, over its 21 years, resulted in an enormous loss of not just U.S. manufacturing jobs, but it has also resulted in losses of service sector jobs, downward pressure on wages. But it's not just NAFTA, that agreement. That agreement heralded in a model of trade agreements. And at the heart of those agreements is the most job-losing provision of the TPP. It's a provision that incentivizes job offshoring by providing special rights and privileges to foreign investors if they relocate the jobs. Now, all the TPP has been negotiated in extreme secrecy, but luckily WikiLeaks leaked that chapter of TPP. It's called the investment chapter. The result from NAFTA was that literally 40,000 companies up and relocated. Well, the other thing that both the TPP and NAFTA have is a ban on buy local or buy American. So you actually also end up offshoring our tax dollars.
Well, Lori Wallach, what's wrong with the principle of these trade deals, which basically say it's a global economy where countries have to interact in a new way? And yes, you lose certain kinds of jobs in a free trade deal. You mentioned a lot of them, a lot of manufacturing jobs for sure. But when you do it, you reorient your economy in a more accessible way that gives you access to emerging markets in places like Asia, Europe, places like that.
So trade is good, and we have to figure out how to expand our exports and be successful in the globalized economy, no doubt. The problem with TPP and the question with every trade agreement is trade, yes, but under what rules? Who writes them and who are they set to benefit? This has become a corporate Trojan horse to implement a lot of policies that wouldn't and in fact haven't passed in Congress. This is the most threatening attack on middle-class jobs and wages, but also many of the most important consumer and environmental protections on which all of our families rely.
Lori Wallach is director of Global Trade Watch. It's a division of Public Citizen. Lori, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Well, let's turn now to another view. Susan Schwab is former U.S. Trade Representative under President George W. Bush. She's currently a professor at the University of Maryland, and she supports this deal. Susan Schwab, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. Pleased to be here.
Is the Trans-Pacific Partnership a Trojan horse, as Lori Wallach said, one that benefits pharmaceutical companies, limits internet freedom, undermines environmental regulations and wages?
No, it appears to be a very fine agreement, very strong, very robust, and will, like our previous free trade agreements with 20 other countries, go a long way in increasing U.S. exports, increasing benefits to U.S. consumers, small, medium size, as well as large exporters, farmers, manufacturers, workers, service providers, a whole variety of U.S. Interests.
Susan Schwab, what about parts of this deal apparently that give multinational corporations the power to challenge domestic environmental and labor laws, that basically let the companies who have a stake in the trade to try to undermine environmental regulations, wage regulations, workplace safety regulations?
Well, I think you ought to take a look at the existing trade agreements, starting with the free trade agreement that was negotiated with Peru, Colombia, South Korea, Panama. The last four, for example, have enforceable labor and environmental standards. These are provisions that were demanded by labor and environmental groups in the United States for 10, 15 years. And then lo and behold, once they were included in trade agreements as enforceable standards, those groups in the United States that had said, oh, but for the lack of these provisions, we would support trade agreements, now they've come up with other reasons for opposing these trade agreements.
Well, of course, Susan Schwab, the president is on your side on this one, but a big part of his political base isn't, and they're getting more and more vocal. The White House has acknowledged to reporters and a lot of other people that NAFTA hasn't lived up to the hype, in the White House's words, and that the president is really making a special new effort for enforceable environmental regulations, workplace safety, workers' protections in this deal. Your assessment of the geopolitical balance of power right now, does the president have new leverage, more leverage than maybe we had or wanted during NAFTA for the president to assuage the concerns of so many people on his left?
Well, I would have liked to have seen the president move earlier on trade promotion authority and a trade agenda. I think you find a lot of Republicans who would have liked to see that. You would have found a lot of Democrats who would like to see that. I mean, trade is, in fact, bipartisan. I think perhaps you exaggerate to an extent the number of Democrats who oppose trade. Unfortunately, you've got this very strong, as you note, and vocal opposition from a wing of the Democratic Party. It is controlled by big labor. If you look at who is going to benefit, it's American workers who are going to benefit. It's American farmers. It's ranchers. You do not win in trade by ignoring the 95% of consumers, global consumers, who are sitting outside our borders. You do not win in global trade by letting other countries negotiate free trade agreements around the world that exclude us. You don't win by walking off the field.
Susan Schwab, thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Susan Schwab is former U.S. trade representative under President George W. Bush.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.